Talkback is brought to you by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Experience the luxury. It's Talkback, Central Louisiana's longest-running talk show. Whether it's the hosts or the callers, Talkback is where Central Louisiana connects and begins its conversation.
And we're back. Sandra McQuain here with Nathan Martin, and joining us in the studio, Mayor Rich Dupree.
Hey, Pineville, guys.
Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. How are things in control room A?
Pretty exciting. It's been a full first hour, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I was listening to all the calls. Some of the voices that I recognized, some of you guys did, and it's great to hear from some of those folks, too, mm-hmm. that can opine about some of the headlines of the day and the way that some of those did. So that was good to hear. And I always enjoy listening. And, you know, like I heard you referring to Nathan in the first hour in the opening monologue, was listening to some of the issues that Sandra had Friday. And it's amazing how we're only a few miles apart, but mm-hmm. you know, some experience things in one part of town and another part of town, you know, you didn't experience anything, but, you know, the fireworks in the sky, whether it was the actual fireworks or whether it was, you know, the storm system that moved through. As I come into this morning, and, you know, our weather today is going to be 180 degrees different than what it was yesterday. But as I come into this day, I'm very thankful for, you know, you always prepare for the worst as it relates to Hurricane Beryl, and then move into just being ready to react as things happen. And then for us, you know, nothing really happened. But to our neighbors to the west, it did. And you know, hearing some of your reports, listening to some of the news reports, 2 million plus people without power, an area that we visit a lot, Galveston, it could be a whole week before they get power back in that area. I checked last night with some of my mayoral counterparts in the Minden and Houghton, Shreveport area, and, you know, there was a death in Louisiana in Benton, which is north of that. So north of Shreveport and northwest of Shreveport got it harder than east of Shreveport did. But texting with Mayor Nick Cox last night up at Minden, you know, really appreciated. He said, you know, we really overall we're very blessed. That was the term he used. And have an employee that works for me this morning. I was talking with her or texting with her. She has family in the Conroe area and in Jasper, Texas area, and also in the Houston area. And in the Houston area, you know, she, you know, minor damage, no power, but they had like 10 inches of rain in an hour's time. And that's difficult to deal with. A tornado did touch down by her daughter's house in the Conroe area. Two trees in her yard, electrical pole directly in front of her house has damage. So a lot of folks, and as you mentioned, it's about to get hot. Heat index today is supposed to be above 105 in that area. So not good for folks that don't have power, and our prayers go out to our friends in East Texas, west of us. It seems like sometimes when we're watching these things come up the Gulf, like Beryl, you know, you're praying they don't hit you and we're not an area of impact, but, you know, 99 out of 100 times, if it's not us getting the impact, it's our neighbors in East Texas. So certainly our prayers up for those folks today. And you know, obviously, if you have family over there, you've already been trying to reach out mm-hmm. to them. But again, very thankful that we did not have the kind of impact here, but it's just the beginning. So
yeah, and those are things that you and city administration prepare for. And you're grateful when the preparations, you don't begrudge the preparations that
sure.
didn't have to be used. But I know you guys are out cleaning drains and, you know, clearing things as best you can to, as homeowners should be. And this is something, the time of the year that all homeowners need to be preparing regularly, because this is supposedly going to be a very active hurricane season.
Well, and we were coming off of a holiday weekend. The governor declared Friday a holiday. Thursday was the federal holiday. So, you know, we were coming off a 4-day weekend. So I, you know, without And this is what I love about the team that we have at the City of Pineville. Without even having to prompt anyone, started getting messages Saturday and Sunday of the preparations that were going on. And as I was even coming home for church Sunday, I saw city trucks that were out and about looking, you know, at the storm drains and that type of thing, because you can clean them one day and, you know, the next day have issues. And so just double checking all of that. A huge shout out to Sheriff Mark Wood and Warden Slater at DC2 set us up the last week, and even yesterday we were picking up sandbags from them that very graciously they had already filled with sand, and were there for us to bring back to our city barn off of the corner of Jones and Sanders. So again, you know, using the help there that the sheriff provided. And again, you prepare for the worst and pray for the best. And thankfully for us this time, we didn't see the impact.
That is a frequent question about sandbags. What is the traditional city's response to distributing sandbags?
Well, we typically have a system at the barn. We try to have some that are ready made. That's normally our distribution area, is our city barn. You can probably identify 15 to 20 individuals that are going to come because they're in low areas of the city, and no matter how much you stand there and clean out a storm drain, if you get several inches in a short period of time, they're going to have issues at their homes, and so they know to come. But frequently, I mean, we check your driver's license just from that standpoint, because we want to make sure we take care of Pinevillians first. That's, you know, that's our responsibility as elected officials, and that's what we do. But fortunately, we've not had to get to a point where we've run out of sandbags or had to have individuals fill their own. That's the neat thing about a small town, as opposed to a bigger city like Alexandria. Mm.
Well, it's good to know that typically they can watch the Facebook page. The city will post when there's distribution.
Yes, yes. But again, there are folks that know when it's when there's the threat. They're you know, wanting to find out, can they come to the barn, what we affectionately call the city barn, and pick those up. And normally that goes without any any prompting to the to folks.
So. Well, you mentioned communication with, or I mentioned communication, but isn't there, or what is the way that people can receive text messages for alerts for things like that? I know that there's a system set up for events and for alerts when the city wants to promote this and or send out information about whether it's sandbags or whether it's a water outage or whether there's a street blockage or whatever.
And I enjoy listening sometimes to my secretary, who will, you know, someone will call in and ask a question about a boil advisory or ask a question about an event, and she'll ask them, are you signed up for our text alerts? And then most of the time the answer is no, and she's able to tell them, well, they're free and you only get them for particular events or particular alerts that you need to know about. You're not getting texts that, hey, come get a free ice cream cone at such and such, or, you know, I mean, they're texts that are relative to the particular thing you signed up for. So if you want to know about special events, you can open up a text message and text Pineville Events to 91896. 91896, hit send, you'll get a prompt back, and then you're signed up for event alerts, special event alerts. And then we have something for Pineville alerts in specifically, and you text the word Pineville alerts to 91896, and it's that easy. I have it on both of my phones, so I know when our folks are doing their jobs and sending out those text alerts. But very helpful. Just as a reminder, how many times do we need reminders? We set reminders on our cell phones when to take medicine, when to get up, when to, you know, go feed the dog. I mean, you know, you do a number of things like that. These are simple text alerts that help with that as well.
If I could ask you about a boil advisory, what does that mean when you say we're under a boil advisory?
That's a good. I appreciate the prompt on that, because the way the Department of Environmental Quality and EPA run things, what they require is that anytime you depressurize a water line and you repressurize it, you have to take a sample and send it off. And out of the extreme precaution, you have to issue what they call a boil advisory. And in 24 years of doing this, I have never seen a sample that we have sent off come back, oh no, you've got a problem. You know, our water is I think some of the best, and although we've had some issues relative to water tanks going down and the stress on the other wells in everything during the heart of the heat of summer and so forth, overall a boil advisory, and there are folks that are religious about, you know, they're going to boil their water until they know the advisory is off, but it is a precautionary thing that we have to do. It's not an option. We have to do that for the homes that are affected when a line is repaired, depressurized, and then repressurized. So I always tell folks that it's a precautionary thing. It doesn't mean something's wrong with the water. It just simply means that by law, from a national perspective and from a state enforcement perspective, they make you issue what we call the customary boil advisory. Mm-hmm.
And so, typically you your staff will go and put tags on the doors of the homes that are affected or businesses that are affected. And you may have people that have compromised immune systems or, you know, newborn babies or
sure,
whatever. And,
sure.
And they need to be aware in case. But as you said, in 24 years, not a single time has a post-event test ever come back as a failure.
That's correct. And so
that's health, good to know.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I wouldn't go without use of the water just because there is a boil advisory. But if you are in a position that you want to take, you know, all those full precautions, that's why we call it, you know, just a customary boil advisory. But I can tell you also in that time period, I've never boiled water when I've had a boil advisory, just because I know those things, yeah. And it is not something.
But you will see, for example, restaurants will say, you know, hey, our machines are down. We don't have sodas right now because of the boil advisory. And they take it seriously, and I think that's the proper thing to do.
So. Well, they are under a different microscope as it relates to the Department of Health. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going to do that. I'm telling you that out of experience, but mm-hmm. not as a directive.
Correct.
And and would not do that, so.
All right. Well, I know the mayor. Thank you for that. I think it's great. But considering hurricane season, I think it's great to get some clarity on the boil advisory.
No doubt.
You have a long list. So why don't we take a break and we'll jump into your agenda right after this.
Sounds good.
Talk Back is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to KSYL's Talk Back after the show. It's audio on demand at KSYL.com.
And we're back with Mayor Rich Dupree. So, Mayor Dupree, I know you have a list, but congratulations on a great July 4th Bulow event.
Well, it was our first time. It was our 19th event, but it was our first time to partner with the good folks here at Sinlaw Broadcasting, who did a wonderful, wonderful over-the-top job of not only introducing us to both of our featured acts that we had, but also did a lot to get when you've got the power of seven stations and the marketing appeal that Sinlaw Broadcasting has to just about every genre of music that you can imagine, it was great to have that behind us in doing that. So a lot of great promotion, and it really showed, because even though it was hot outside, once the clouds kind of came in about 7-ish, it really started packing in. It's really got us also evaluating how early you can start, because you've got, you know, the number of vendors that you have, and because of the different artists, and you still want to shoot the fireworks at a decent time relative to that, you tend to, you know, start a little earlier. So we started the music at 5, opened the gates at 4, started the music at 5. But boy, it was hot. And so there was the jokes going around, can we move July 4th to October? No, but maybe we could do something else by the lake in October, but certainly not. It's just something so special about celebrating our nation's independence the way that we do. And it brings people together, no matter what your party persuasion is, no matter what your, politics are, no matter, rich or poor, it resonates with you, as we approach, that milestone anniversary of 250
years. I was going to ask you, what are you already planning for 2026? Because that's going to, I can't wait. I remember, Al and I were talking about that, the 200th anniversary.
Right.
That he and I were both in, kind of elementary, middle school age, and I can't wait for the 250.
Right, right.
I'm going to go to Mount Rushmore. I got a whole bucket list of things I want to do to celebrate.
I got you. Well, we're looking forward to that, looking ahead to that. But yes, very successful fireworks over Buelow. Thank you to all of our great sponsors, to Cinelot Broadcasting, to the city of Alexandria. They helped us out by loaning to their two trolleys, which were huge for us because we had alternate parking areas down under the overpass by Pineville High School and along Airport Road, and those trolleys were just tremendous help to us. So we really appreciate our friends at the City of Alexandria for doing that and helping us out with that. And of course, I went and witnessed their July 4th Rock the Red on Thursday night and enjoyed that by the river, just being there with several hundred of my closest friends that were also had the same idea I did and go down to the riverfront area in time for the fireworks on July the 4th. So yes, a great celebration indeed, and certainly appreciate all the folks that turned out for that. We had another very successful event just a few days before that on Saturday the 29th. It was a fifth Saturday, and Doug Gann wanted to do something a little different, so we did what we called a splash bash at the park at our pavilion area, which is inside Keys Park behind the splash pad area. The Pineville City Marshal came out, the fire trucks came out, folks came out, and free hot dogs, and there was face painting, and Kona Ice was there selling cold refreshment as well, and it was a huge event. So with that in mind, we're like, well, this is neat to do. It gets kids and family out to both our Keys Park and to the splash pad. What if we do a back to school bash? And of course, our team ate that idea up. So August 17th, which will be, just a couple of Saturdays after school has started back, but before we close down the splash pad for the summer, which is what we do on Labor Day weekend, that's the last weekend the splash pad will be open. But Saturday, August 17th, we will have our back to school splash bash there at Keys Park, and bring out all types of activities for the kids. And again, it's a good family friendly event in the most recognized family type area that we have in Pineville, which is Keys Park. So excited about that.
I love that event. And there's so much you can do with a back to school bash too, and a lot of sponsors that'll come in with back to school items. That's a great idea.
It really is. And so really, really excited about that. And still cutting ribbons as well. We cut a ribbon just last week at T-Mobile there on 116, which is the strip center across from Procter & Gamble outside the front gate of Louisiana Training Center, the National Guard Center there in Pineville. It is the middle area that had kind of been open for a while. You had Great American Cookie to one side and Daiquiri's to go to the other, and that middle space was waiting for just the right tenant to come in. And T-Mobile brought their only corporately owned franchise here in the local market to that location. So we're really excited to have that filled. And they, you got Procter & Gamble to one side, the National Guard to the other, and just across across the streets, Walmart Supercenter. I think they picked a pretty good spot to come and set up. So we were excited. Deb Randolph and I were talking about how neat it was with all the fuchsia colors that T-Mobile exudes to be there to cut the ribbon with those guys last week. So, again, thanks for the way the chamber turns out with their red coats and supports those type of events. Want to let you know that coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Kim Boyd. She is the Hazard Mitigation Planner for the Rapids Area Planning Commission, and that'll kind of get us into our discussion about our city council meeting tonight, which is at 6 p.m., because not only will Kim be there, but so will the head of Brownfield program for the Department of Environmental Quality, Rebecca Oddie. They've got a presentation they're going to make to us, and we'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. We've got yet another new fire truck that will be delivered this week to our Pineville Fire Department. We're going to talk about that and get into more about a very special exhibit that is now available at the New Orleans International Airport and why that's important to Pineville. So preview all of that for you. We'll talk about that in our next half hour.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be back right after the break.
Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to KSYL's Talkback after the show. It's audio on demand at KSYL.com.
And we're back, and we're going to go to the phones. And Mayor Dupree, you have a guest with us.
I do. She's on the road, which she does a good bit, taking care of the territory that the Rapids Area Planning Commission helps service here in the Central Louisiana area. But we have on the phone line with us Kim Boyd, who is the Hazard Mitigation Planner for the RAPC. And Kim, we say good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, and Nathan, and Sandy. Hope y'all are all well.
We are, and we're going to be doing real well tonight at the Pineville City Council meeting because you're coming to visit with us tonight, which is always nice, but you're bringing a special guest with you tonight to the City Council meeting, along with a special check.
I am indeed. Looking forward to being there with Rebecca and possibly one or two others from LDEQ, and we have a very special, very large foam check presentation to make.
I did check with Kim just to see if she had tried to cash that already, but you know, she said it was too big to fit in the night deposit, so she
That's
didn't.
True.
But it is a $500,000 investment into the city of Pineville specifically. Tell our listeners, I'm very familiar frontwards and backwards with Brownfield and what it's about, but maybe tell our listeners what this program is about and the target area that that this $500,000 is going toward.
So we at the Planning Commission have applied, well, multiple times. This was our fourth attempt to apply through EPA for their Brownfield grant. They have multiple types of grants. The one that we were pursuing was an assessment grant, which will provide funding to assess what we refer to as brownfield sites. Those could be things such as gas stations that are no longer in use, dry cleaners that are no longer in use, abandoned or blighted, other types of properties. The reason behind doing that is because it allows, a lot of times the communities have a hard time putting properties like that back into commerce because no one wants to take on the responsibility of what hazardous substance may be prominent in that particular property, or that may be under the property, potentially has leached onto other properties. So the EPA offers this annual grant program where you can apply and get funding to do assessments on those sites, to do a lot of testing and find out exactly what you're dealing with. And that opens the door for you to then be able to go back and apply for cleanup funding. And upon being able to clean up those sites, you can also revision them and repurpose them for another use. And it allows the community to then put those properties back into commerce. You would have a developer that would be much more likely to purchase a property knowing that it's been assessed and cleaned up, and then they understand that they don't have to deal with that process. It's already been taken care of for them.
We're talking with Kim Boyd, Hazard Mitigation Planner for the Rapids Area Planning Commission. We affectionately refer to as RAPC. And as Kim mentioned, this is something that this was our fourth attempt at this particular grant. And I know, Kim, that we submitted several sites, but when it really came down to it, the three highest ranked sites that deserved the study in the target area all happened to be along the downtown Main Street area.
That's correct. When we decided to do the application, our focus was the Main Street area in Pineville, just because there are so many great things that are already happening on Main Street. Local individuals who are buying into those properties and repurposing them and revitalizing the area. And so our goal was to tap into that and tackle some areas that would be a little bit harder for just a local person to purchase. So our target area is the Main Street corridor, and the three priority sites that we listed was the old, I think it was a Craig's Cleaners maybe on the corner at Shamrock.
Bryant's Cleaners, actually, yeah.
So Bryant's Cleaners was one. There is an abandoned gas station right as you come into Pineville from Alexandria across the bridge that we were focused on, as well as the old Huey P. Long Hospital site. We just really felt like those areas could be real linchpins to help promote the rebirth, if you would, of that Pineville Main Street corridor, because there are so many good things going on there. It's a great lead-in property to Central State Hospital site, which is just, you know, beautiful grounds that then connects over to the lake. So there's just so many positives about that area. And having moved to Pineville myself in 2019, I'm very humbled and honored and proud to be able to help my own community like this.
Well, Kim, we really appreciate that. Each one of those sites are historic to many folks that are Pinevillians. Obviously, Huey P. Long, built in 1939, was abandoned in, I think, 2012, when the hospital was shuttered by the governor then. It certainly has seen its better days. And, of course, the gas station you referred to, Eddie's Exxon, right next to Southern Creations at 212 Main Street, that one-acre gas station has a lot of fond memories for folks as well. And this $500,000, which sounds like a lot on some levels, will certainly go really toward the study on how to get those areas clean and potentially put back into commerce.
That's right. The funding will be used to do what we refer to as phase one and potentially phase two assessments on those sites to really determine what hazardous substances could possibly be there. What types of materials are we looking at? What is the extent of that? Is it, pretty much contained to that property? Or should we be concerned about surrounding properties? And all of that will help lead up to potential cleanup funding so that those sites can be actually, restored to normal levels, and then also allow for sort of visioning sessions of what would the community be looking for? What is the most prominent need in the area? And how could these sites be repurposed to fulfill the needs of the local community?
Well, I'm sure glad that you didn't give up after the first three applications came back to you, and that third time wasn't the charm, but the fourth time was. But, boy, we've learned so much through this process together, haven't we?
We have indeed, and it's great when you just have a really good support system. We are contracted now with a great environmental group, environmental consulting group, that's going to be working with us to do this work. And then having, obviously, the support of LDEQ, meeting the folks at Region 6 EPA who have just been, you know, really good supporters and trying to provide feedback along the way about the application. It's extremely competitive. As you can imagine, the grant cycle opens once a year, and it's open to the entire nation. So you're competing against the entire United States and everybody across the country who is submitting applications to try to get that one pot of funding that's there and try to maximize it and get the most that you can from it. And it was, after the first two tries, we did take a break in 2022 and did not apply, but sort of regrouped, went back in 2023, applied again, and then again in 24, and this time we were successful, and it was really interesting to get that congratulatory email. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's finally happened after all of these attempts and all of the blood, sweat, and tears that went into trying to make sure that you provided just the right information in your limited 10-page application that you're allowed to submit, and to have it finally be successful was just so rewarding.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you tonight along with Rebecca Oddie from Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality, and a special presentation that the mayor and council look forward to celebrating tonight.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
I couldn't be there in person.
Oh, for this morning's interview. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we'll see you tonight, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. I will be back.
Great. Kim, thank you so much. That's Kim Boyd, who is the hazard mitigation planner for the RAPC, presenting a $500,000 check to the mayor and council tonight for this study. And I really appreciate the comments, Sandra, about Main Street and a lot of great things happening, the synergy there with what's going on with the Central Hospital properties as well. It's a great time to have that in the bank to be able to work with for potentially redevelopment of three other historic but sites that in some cases have been abandoned, and in the case of Bryant's Cleaners has some challenges to being redeveloped. It's locally owned now, as is the building on the corner by the same folks on the corner of Shamrock and Main. They've already repurposed that corner, but when you're dealing with an older cleaners building, a little bit more there that you have to deal with, and I'm hoping this will help spur that redevelopment as well. Let's take another break. We'll come back, and appreciate the opportunity to continue to talk about Pineville here on KSYL.
Talkback is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. The best of Talkback is back Saturday mornings 8 to 10 right here on KSYL. Now back to the show.
I don't even know what you...
Okay. Welcome back.
I was waiting for someone to put the ball on the tee, but I'm ready to swing. I'll just go ahead and swing and miss, which I normally do anyway when the ball's on the tee. So,
please do. Yeah, we got distracted. It's Nathan's fault.
Sorry, it's my fault.
Yes, it is. Some of the talk during... What do we talk? Sometimes say that sometimes the talk when we're not on the air is more informative than when we are. But thank you. All right, moving right along. Hey, want to give.
Moving
right along.
It's Cal Appreciation Day.
Haven't you heard?
Yes.
All right.
I've already rolled my sleeves up. Now I'm going to have to roll my pants up. Okay.
Well, put your beefs aside see if we can milk this for all it's worth.
Okay. Anyway,
I need both the city and the radio on the same day.
Speaking of fire, need a hose to put this one out. But I want to say that the next upgrade to our Pineville Fire Department fleet is almost here. It'll be here either tomorrow or Thursday. So excited about that. 3 weeks ago, Chief Cummings and Assistant Chief Kessler were up in Wisconsin for a final walkthrough of what is a new 2024 Pierce Enforcer pumper truck that has all the bells and whistles, and we're excited to get that truck as a part of our fleet. It'll be the second new upgrade just this budget year to our fire department. While the truck itself has been in the making for a couple of years now, you just don't go purchase one of those from your closest dealership. I mean, those are folks that specially make these from the ground up, literally. And so they went up to Wisconsin to check that truck out. It will replace a 2001 pumper truck that had a lot of bells but no whistles. It was on its last leg, and we were spending four and five and six figures to keep repairing it. So we made the decision and got the truck ordered, and it was built. So again, it will be here tomorrow or Thursday. Really excited about that. Again, something that's an investment into our fire department, an investment into our community, and we're certainly excited to be able to offer that to both our employees of the Pineville Fire Department and all the great work that they do, as well as for the protection of our businesses and our residents.
Will you keep the old truck, or will you, because it's not easy to dispose of an asset as
no,
a government
we,
agency.
We will surplus it and hopefully be able to sell it through the LaMats organization that is a subsidiary of the Municipal Association. Nathan actually is on that board for LaMats, and they've helped us move some other equipment. They've helped us find equipment that we've needed, but they also helped move that along. And, another community can put some use to it, but considering the area that we cover, how expansive of an area that Pineville is, out 107, out 2080 east, out 165, we just needed something that was a lot more dependable for the business and industry that we have to provide coverage for, as well as, for our residences. So that all factors in that decision too. But yes, it will be surplused by the council, maybe at this meeting, and then put hopefully to use by someone else. So
great. Well, we're up against another break, believe it or not, and we'll come back, and I know you've got some other news to share on airports and the council meeting coming up. We'll be back right after this.
Now let's get back to Talk Back on KSYL 970 AM, 104.9 FM, and 100.3 HD3.
And we're back, and we're going to go to the phones. Good morning. You're on with Mayor Dupree.
Hello. Oh,
there we
yes,
go. Good
hello.
Morning.
Now
you're
we
on.
Got you.
Hey, good morning. This is Carl Carpenter, Pineville High School. Just wanted to do a shout out to Mayor Dupree, Nathan, you and Sandra, all of you folks with the city of Pineville, the fire department, the city of police. When we deal with our kids painting our footprints in front of the school, our flagpole, all sorts of cooperation between y'all, and we just love it here at Pineville High School, the best it's ever been, and it gets better every day.
I was waiting for that line.
Doc, I appreciate that. I know that some of that took place yesterday, and trying to beat the rain yesterday, and we did, thankfully. But so much pride that is exuded there out of Pineville High School, and it just feeds into the community, and the community feeds back into the school. I mean, it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. Well, we've got the best students that we can find, and so we just, the school is great. The alumni right there in the studio is the alumni of Pineville High
School. Right, so that's right.
We're so thrilled to see all of the amazing things that take place.
Well, thanks.
Creating memories for these kids. And when they leave here, as Sandra was talking about yesterday with the kids singing the national anthem, that just thrills me to hear our kids continuing.
Yeah, no doubt, Doc. And from an economic development standpoint, Nathan and I both know when we're out recruiting business and when we're recruiting developers that want to build new rooftops as far as subdivisions are concerned, education and what you have as far as an educational institution, what you offer plays into that portfolio that we're able to put out there.
Looking forward to a great year. And I just wanted to say
for everything you folks do for us here at Pineville High School. Mm.
Thanks, Doc. Really, really, really appreciate that. Dr. Carl Carpenter from Pineville High School. Yeah. And really appreciate that attaboy there as we head toward the top of the hour. Want to hit on a couple of other things real quick. You know, city council meeting is tonight. We mentioned that earlier. 6 p.m. is the time that the meeting starts. We're going to be honoring Mike Burns tonight for obtaining the milestone of 500 wins as head coach at Louisiana Christian University. We wanted to do that last month, and they were in tournament play, postseason tournament play at the time, and he's in his 19th, I think he just completed his 19th season at Louisiana Christian, and you know, just to recognize Mike, who's a stable in this community, and look forward to honoring him tonight. So we had to put that off to our July meeting, but look forward to that. And as we mentioned, we'll have representatives from LDEQ, Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality, will be there tonight to present the city a check for $500,000 through the RAPC for a study of a couple of brownfield sites in the downtown Pineville area. We've got condemnation hearings. We've got 8 of those on the docket for tonight, so we will be covering and having those public hearings as well. And we've got several more that we will be introducing tonight and encouraging those property owners to show up at our August meeting so that we can review potentially their particular site being added to our condemnation list and to be able to appropriate funds that we have toward getting that done if the owner of said property does not take care of that themselves. So those are some of the things that we are working on for the Pineville City Council for tonight. So, again, a lot of things on the agenda. The agenda actually goes 3 pages tonight, legal pages, and normally we get 1.5.
But I've never had an agenda that long.
I don't think I have either.
Years.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I don't know that I had an agenda that long, but a lot of them are resolutions, and of course we meet one time a month. So because of that, you have to make sure we were even adding things late in the day yesterday to that. I also want to share our thoughts and prayers for the family of Lloyd Morrow. If you've been around Pineville any length of time, you'll know that you'll know the name Lloyd Morrow. He's been involved in construction of some of the biggest buildings in Pineville and Alexandria, including Calvary Baptist, Rapids Regional, Cabrini Hospital, many others. He passed away, and Lloyd Morrow Construction is a hallmark name in Pineville, and we continue to pray for his wife Faith and his family, and the business as it continues operating there on Ray Street in Pineville. Our thoughts and prayers today with the family
You've
of Lloyd
Morrow. Listening to Talk Back. The opinions expressed were those of the hosts and callers, and not necessarily those of Senlaw Broadcasting.